All right, Genesis chapter 26. When you find it, stand with me, please, because that way I know you have found it and you can follow along as I read, all right? Genesis chapter 26, I'm going to begin reading in verse 15, and it starts out, and it says, "Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham, his father." That's rude. I plug up my well. That wasn't very nice. "And they filled him with earth," it says. In verse 16, it says, "And then Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we are.' Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord God, we have to come to worship you, to sing praises, Lord God, and to offer up our heart to you. And Lord, I pray that as we do today, Lord, that you would look at each one of us, Lord God, with a desire, Lord God, to draw near to us. Lord, that we would worship you, Lord God, in such a way, in spirit and in truth, Lord God, that would draw you to us. And Lord, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You know, we're looking at the Old Testament accounts and learning from them. There's a scripture in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians that tells us that these things were written for our example and for our warning. And so as we look at this particular topic or this passage today, it's been written for our example and for our warning. And so as we look at this, I want to encourage you to redig the well. To redig the well that the enemy has tried to stop. Now, let's go back and give you a little bit of history here on this. Is that Abraham was very prosperous in the land. He was very wealthy. He had large herds and very successful in whatever he did because of the blessing that God had put on him. Well, that blessing went on to the next generation. Isaac began to prosper. And in fact, there was a famine in the land. And he was ready to leave and go where there was no famine. But God said, "No, you need to stay here. This is where I have I've promised this to you. You stay here." And so he stayed there in the middle of a famine. Now, how many know what rain looks like in a famine? It's non-existent, okay? So there's no rain. There's no way to water their fields. And the wells dry up. But yet, Abraham prospered. And now Isaac is here, and he's prospering. In fact, it says, if you go back and you read this chapter in Genesis, it says that in Genesis that in the year of the famine that Isaac sowed his seed and reaped 100-fold. Now, how many farmers do we have in here today? That just doesn't even happen on a good year. You just don't have that in a good year. But yet, Isaac, because of the blessing of Abraham, did it because God's favor was upon him. Now, the reason I say God's favor was upon him, because Abimelech could see that he was blessed. And Abimelech could see that he was prosperous. He could see that he was mighty. He could see that he was wealthy. He could see all this on Isaac's life. And do you know what the scripture says about us today? Galatians chapter 3, it says that Jesus became a curse for us and he hung on a tree. And it says that he became that curse for us so that we could partake of the blessings of Abraham. The blessings of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles. Now, that includes us. So now, we should be partaking in this. The problem that we run into is our wells are plugged up. Abraham had good wells, and he began to prosper. And after he died, it says that the Philistines came in and plugged up the wells. Isaac prospered because God was blessing him. Now, Isaac goes back after he's prospered, and in fact, they tell him to leave because he was so prosperous and so mighty. He said, "You are mightier and stronger than we are, and we need you to leave because you could easily overtake us." Now, think about that phrase, that concept right there. Why was it in, well, we're not there yet in the story, in the history yet, but in Egypt, why did Egypt put the Jews under slavery? Because they were stronger and multiplied more and more than they were. This is part of the blessing. This is part of the thing that God wanted us to partake in. Oh, God's not about numbers and all that. As soon as you start talking about numbers in church, people, oh no, you can't. All you care about is people in church. Well, yeah, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We want to see people come to church and give their life right with God. So, this is the story here that we've got going. And the enemy came in and began to plug up the wells. So, let's redig the wells. Now, as we look at this, just a little more history here as you read. If you take the time to read this, it says that he redug the wells, and then Abimelech came and wanted to make a treaty with him. And so then they had a dinner, and they settled the covenant together. And then as later on it says, and then the servants came to Isaac again over in verse 32, and it says that they found another well. So it wasn't just, I'm going to say, six wells, because they found this other well, this next well, and it says, and it came to pass in verse 32, it came to pass that same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We found water." So they called it Sheba. Therefore, the city is called Beersheba to this day. See, he first started out redigging the wells that he already knew there was water. I know if we dig here, we're going to find water. I know this is where my father dug, this is where we're going to dig, and so we're going to find water here. And now we get to this next well, they find water, and they call it Sheba. How many know what Sheba means? Seven. That's why I said there was six before, so this must be seven. Seems logical to me, but maybe that wasn't their thinking, but they named it seven, Sheba. Beersheba was seven. And so that's why they named it seven, because God didn't want him just to settle for the normal. He wanted to bless them so they would have abundance. And how many know when your herds and your flocks get bigger and bigger and bigger, you need more and more water? So God gave them more water. God wants us to have more water. God wants us to not live just with what we already know exists. He wants us to begin to expand and move the boundaries, and let's get more. Let's move and let's do more. And in order to do more, we need more water. We need more water. So they redug the old wells. Good thing. Now, we're moving to new territory. Supernatural territory. Now, remember last week, we talked about Jude chapter 1, verse 5, and it says to, he's going to remind us. Then Philippians, it says, Philippians 3, 1, it says that we need to be reminded. Then in 1 John 2, again, he says we're to be reminded. How many think we forget once in a while? All right, so we do forget once in a while. And so he says again over in John chapter 14, verse 26, he says that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us. When there's nobody else around to remind us, the Holy Spirit's going to remind us. And then let's move on to even the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 5 says, remember. And you know, if he starts out with the word remember, that must be something we need to remember. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. So he's saying, remember what you used to be like. How many of you can remember what you used to be like? How strong were you? We had a young guy was doing the announcements this morning in church, and he says, you know what? I can't run as fast as I used to run, but I still run. So he can remember what he used to be like, but that wasn't going to stop him. He was going to keep going. He was going to run anyway. And you know what? We need to remember what we used to be like. We need to remember, not even in the physical, but in the spiritual, what were we like? How did God use us? What was God showing us? How many of you used to remember that when you first got saved, God was showing you all kinds of stuff? I mean, you were finding new things in the Bible all the time. Wow, look at this. Wow, look at this. Wow, look at this. Guess what? God has not shown you everything yet. Amen. What happened?
Hungry.
Hungry? For the word. You were hungry, yes. But what happened?
I think people get
complacent. The wells get plugged up, right? With complacency, with laziness, with what?
Life.
The wells get plugged up. Remember what you used to be like? And then what does Jesus say in Revelation 5 or 2? He says, think back to where you found spiritual water. Oh no, that's what I wrote. Sorry. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent. So, if we used to be doing all this stuff, we used to be finding all these nuggets of wisdom and God's blessing upon our life, and then all of a sudden it seems to stop. What happened? Well, it's not God. God is not the problem. And God has not shown you everything that he has to show us. So, I must be the problem. Maybe I'm not setting myself aside to hear. We talked a few weeks ago about hearing God. We talked a few weeks ago about knowing the voice of God, being led by the Spirit of God. How do we be led by the Spirit of God? You know what? We've got to get into the Word of God and know the Word of God to be led by the Word of God. So, all this stuff that we had in the beginning, and now we've slowed down, and maybe it's not as prolific as it used to be. We're just every once in a while God will show you, or not, wait a minute, let me back up. It's not God will show you. We hear it, okay? Every once in a while we hear what God wants to say to us. God wants to say something to us all the time. God is a very chatty person. He came down every night, didn't he? And talked with Adam and Eve. He would walk and talk with them. Why would he not talk with us? Why would he not want to talk to us? He wants to talk to us. And we have to set ourselves aside to hear it. And so, in the Old Testament, we see what they did is they had to redig the wells. Now, there's a story over in the New Testament about a well. A New Testament story about a well. Jesus was going with his disciples, and he was hot, and he was tired and thirsty. And so they stop at this well to get some water. And then the disciples go on into town to get some food and bring it back to him. And he stays there, and this woman comes out to draw water. You know the story. You've heard it before. And they get in this conversation about the well. And Jesus says, "Can you give me a drink of water?" And I'm sure she was willing to do it because it doesn't say she wouldn't. She just says, "What do you mean? You're a Jew asking me for water? We don't do that." It doesn't say she wouldn't do it. It just says that's not normal. And Jesus responds to her and tells her, "If you knew who it was talking to you, you would ask him for a drink." John chapter 4, verse 13 says, Jesus said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The water that I'm about to give you is going to spring up within you and do things in your life that you've never experienced before. This water is not just a natural water. This is a supernatural water. You drink of the natural water and you're going to get thirsty. You're going to thirst again and need to come back here. But the water that I'm about to give you is going to spring up within them. Spring up within them, and they're going to have eternal life. It's going to continue to flow. It's going to continue to pour out. So what happens when I get thirsty spiritually? Well, maybe somebody backed away from the water. God didn't shut it off. Maybe it was me. Or maybe I got something plugged up here and I've got something wrong going on here. I need to get that clear so that I can partake of these springs of living water. So that God will begin to move in my life and show me and reveal things to me each and every time we come together. You know, if you go through the New Testament, I just was thinking about this. The church at Corinth, if you read through the church, 1 Corinthians, it talks about the church at Corinth. And you get up to chapters 12, 13, 14, and it's talking about God wanting to talk to us, God wanting to minister to us. And Paul says in there, he says, "How is it that every time you come together, everybody has a word or everybody has something to say? Let's do this in order. This is a good thing. It's not a bad thing." I think sometimes the church has thought, well, that's a bad thing. Everybody's saying something. No, it's a good thing. We just got to do it in order. So I think we need to be prepared to come and participate in church. Churches shouldn't be a spectator sport. This is not about fans sitting out here and the worship team up here worshiping God. God wants us all to worship. God wants all of us to worship together, giving him glory. Now, I realize I came just a little bit late this morning, but that's okay. We're going to make it. But I want to read a scripture to you that about somebody who didn't miss the beginning song. It says in verse 23 of chapter 4 in John, it says, "The hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking." You know, the Father was seeking worshipers this morning. He was leaning down towards earth looking for people to worship him. He had his ear to your church, to this church right here. Our church. Are they worshiping me in spirit, in truth, or are they just worshiping me with a song? This is not a choir. You did not join a choir, right? You came to worship God this morning, right? How many would have joined a choir if it would have been a choir? Nobody, right? Maybe the worship team is all. The rest of us would have, I don't know about that. But see, God was seeking worshipers. Worship is not about a song. It's not about a place. It's not about a person. It's not about those who are leading worship. It's not about the music. It's not about the volume, great or small. It's about our heart. And we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And see, the problem is a lot of times we have plugged up our well during the week with life, with the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, desire for other things. We just have not prepared ourselves to come before God and worship Him. We have not prepared ourselves to come and worship together in the church. Yes, we sing corporately, but we worship individually. We sing together, and that's great. But when we worship, it's an individual heart that God's listening to. He's listening for that heart. And in the same way that Isaac had to go back and redig the wells in order to have water for his flocks, we need to go back and redig the well that God has put in here so that we can experience the presence of God. He said, we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. And the Father is seeking worshipers just like that. I don't know if you've ever thought about the Father listening to you worship. Many of you, maybe all of you, I don't know, some of us, don't want anybody to hear us singing. You don't want to hear me sing. You don't want to hear that. You're going to scare everybody away if I sing. But God is looking for you to sing. He's looking for your heart. He's not looking for the what we would consider the quality. He's looking for your heart. He's looking to find the Spirit moving in your heart. And so what we need to do is we need to redig that well. And it's not about the song. It's not about the place. When we have the kids come up after camp and they always sing or they give testimony, and we say, what was the best thing that happened at camp? And a lot of times, not every time, but a lot of times, they say the worship was great. Now, why would they do that? It wasn't because their music. It wasn't because, it's because they separated themselves from the world. They came together with one heart and they worshiped God. The ladies go up to Wenatchee and they go to their little ladies' retreat and they come back and the worship was great. It was so awesome. Why? Because they took a whole day, separated themselves from all of their duties, and they went and with one heart wanted to worship God. And so when they came together, they worshiped God like nowhere else. Because everywhere else they go, many of you today are thinking, okay, potlucks after this. I mean, I hope we have enough food and all these things going on in your mind. I got to do this after we get home today, and we got to do this, and then we got to do that, and what's my week look like, and blah, 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 and on you go with being so full of the cares of this world that when we go to worship and the worship team says, all right, let's stand and worship the Lord. And we're all thinking, okay, all right. And we're got our hands up and we're trying to praise the Lord and we're thinking about all these other things. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to come away from the world and worship Him in spirit and in truth. The songs might point us in the right direction. The songs might get us to thinking about God, about Jesus, about the blood, about salvation, about the blessing. The songs might do that, but if we don't pull ourselves away from the cares of the world, if we don't pull ourselves away from all these earthly things that plug up our well, then we're never going to enter into the presence of God because we're so confused in our mind. Our mind is going all kinds of different directions. And we need to come away from that and worship God. So, as we do, you know, we can separate ourselves for Sunday morning. We can separate ourselves to worship God on Sunday morning. If we come with that's the only goal that we have, is to worship God. We've redug the wells on Saturday. Hopefully they're still clean from last week, but if they get plugged up during the week, let's just clean that up. Be ready to go. Maybe you get up early on Sunday morning and spend time with the Lord and get your heart right, and I'm just going to focus on you, God, today. This is going to be a great day. If you're looking for a worshiper, I'm the one. I want to be the one that you come and visit. I want to be the one that you speak to this morning. And God, if you speak to me, I will speak to them. Right? If God, if you speak to me, I will speak to them. Amen. God doesn't just want us to hold him to ourselves. He wants us to share and to build up the body of Christ. Amen. There's no limit to our worship. No limit when we begin to worship in spirit and in truth. When you begin to worship in spirit and in truth, you can go way farther than any worship leader can ever take you. Because it's not about the leader. It's not about the song. It's about our God. Remember what you used to be like. And if you need to repent, repent. That's not a dirty word. If you need to repent, just simply repent. God, I'm sorry. I've allowed these other things to get in the way, and I have not given my heart to you. I have not fully been sold out to you. God, forgive me. So this morning, if you're feeling a little dry, start digging. You know? Start digging. And when I would say that, we can go to Revelation and tell us how to dig. It's called repentance. Repent. Maybe you were doing something on Saturday night that is still in your mind this morning. Repent. Repent and come to God and do the things that you did in the beginning. Maybe you spent more time reading the Bible than you do now. Maybe you spent more time praying. Maybe you spent more time worshiping the Lord at home by yourself than you do now. I don't know what it is, but I do know if you will set yourself towards God to worship Him, He will meet you wherever you are. And it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you're with. God will take you farther and deeper with more refreshing and cold, clear water than you've ever experienced before. If we're willing to go. So I want to encourage you to start digging. First of all, start remembering what did it used to be like? Some of you can probably sit here and think about, well, I remember this in church. I remember when we did this, and I remember when we did this. Okay, we'll start doing it again. I remember when we did this. Well, how did we get there? See, a lot of times we can remember how where we were, but we don't remember the road to get there. So remember, excuse me. And then if you're not there, just repent and say, God, I need to get back there. And go back. He's not hiding it from us. He's not hiding it from us. He wants us to come. He's seeking worshipers. How many want to be a worshiper? Amen. We want to be a worshiper, so in order to do that, we need to come away from the world, set our heart towards God, and worship.